Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with the one and only Michael Lumpkin, who is the Festival Director for AFI Docs. Thanks for joining us, sir.
You're welcome. Good to be here.
Yeah, we love having you in the studio. AFI Docs is awesome. It's one of the best things DC has going on every year. Always great movies that come in. What year are we in now?
Year number 14.
Wow. Yeah. And how many years since it switched from Silver Docs to AFI Docs? The name, like 3 or 4 or something?
I believe it's the fourth year, yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
What all venues we got going on this year? Because I know you guys expanded out from just at AFI Silver Theater in Silver Spring, and now it's downtown and
right.
On the mall. So what all venues can people go to?
Well, this year, of course, we are, you know, at the AFI Silver Theater in Silver Spring, a great place to see movies of any type, and a great place to see documentaries. And then in downtown DC, we're at the Landmark East Street and the Newseum.
Awesome. I don't want to bury the lead because I'm sitting here giddy myself. We were just talking about this before we went on the air, but Werner Herzog is coming this year for the symposium.
Yes,
it's a big freaking deal.
Yeah. I was a little bit, you know, like, whoa, that is a fast response from when we put tickets on sale. But yes, Werner Herzog, our Guggenheim Symposium honoree, will be here. And we're showing his latest feature, Lo and Behold.
What's that one about?
It's about technology and how kind of technology has changed really our culture and our lives. He has his own way of approaching documentaries and this is another great film from Werner Herzog.
Now, explain the Guggenheim Symposium. Go like just sort of the idea of it, because I know in past years, who have we had? Errol Morris, I think, was a couple years ago.
Barbara Koppel, Errol Morris,
the biggest
Al
names
Maisels.
In documentary.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
So it is during the festival. It's our way of honoring a master documentary filmmaker, and the idea of doing that with a symposium, which is a conversation with a filmmaker, showing clips from their work, and it's a way to kind of have that in-depth time with a filmmaker. It's for certainly our audiences and documentary lovers, but also all the filmmakers that attend the festival to be able to go and in person hear from, one of the masters. So it's a great evening where you get, you don't get that very often. I mean, a Q&A after a film is going to be, 15, 20 sure. minutes usually. But this gives you a good chunk of time, more than an hour with a filmmaker and a great filmmaker.
Yeah. And with him, it's got to be a little different than just some of the straight docs, because he's done some stuff that's crossed over into narrative too, like Aguirre, Wrath of God, Fitzcarraldo, and are you going to go into dabble into that or mostly stick with the doc stuff?
Well, we're focusing on the documentary, but like, as you mentioned, Herzog, and one of the great things about him is he does both fiction and nonfiction, and his work in both formats kind of reflects the other format.
Yeah.
So elements of his fiction films that are very much documentary and vice versa. So that's one of the things that makes him such a unique and great filmmaker, is that he's playing in his own way with the format.
He sort of blurs the lines between both, and they mirror each other. It's interesting.
He blurs them, he crosses them.
Crosses and blurs.
He ignores them.
Shatters them.
Yes, yeah.
Rewrites the lines. That's awesome. With him, I mean, I don't know if listeners have ever, if you know much about Werner Herzog. I mean, he's obviously really famous, but if you've ever seen his interviews, he has wild stories of like being under like sniper fire. I've seen some interviews during some of his films. Like you got to go see this thing. He's going to have great stories.
Yeah, and I think it's the way he approaches filmmaking, and he said this to me, like, I'm a one man show. I mean, he doesn't go out into the field with a huge crew, and it's like him in a backpack, when he goes out and does these things. And, you see him at kind of these extreme locations around the globe is often where he goes to make his documentaries.
Well, that's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
That's Friday?
Yeah.
Is it the archives again?
No, it's at the museum.
Oh, the museum.
Year.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. That'll be awesome. All right, so that's going to be a huge highlight of the festival. Put it on your calendar now, Friday, Werner Herzog. You're not going to get a chance to do that very often, see him here talking and breaking down all his movies. So what are some of you? All right. So let's say that is a big, you know, time stamp they put on. Talk about opening night and closing night, because those always get some big movies too.
Yeah. Well, opening, we have Alex Gibney, his new film, Zero Days, the North American premiere, which we, or the moment we saw it, we felt it was a perfect film for AFI Docs and a really perfect film to open the festival.
Tell our folks what it's about.
And for Washington, D.C. It's about cybersecurity, and it's Alex Gibney at his best as an investigative journalist using documentary. And it's about a cyber incident that involved the United States and Israel and the developing nuclear program in Iran. Wow. So it is full of twists and turns and a lot of information that it's just jam-packed with detail and information. So it is, you can kind of geek out on this one as kind of the technology, the investigative journalism that he's so good at. So it's a great film.
Definitely. Is he going to be here in town for the opening?
Yes, he'll be here.
Is there sort of a Q&A or anything?
Yeah, we'll have a Q&A with him and people that are some of the subjects in the film after the screening.
And is this also at the museum?
At the museum as well, yes. So we're at the museum every night of the festival. And then we end the festival on Sunday with Norman Lear, Just Another Version of You.
Norman Lear, there you go.
Yeah.
You didn't have enough big names.
Rachel Grady and Heidi Ewing, and Norman Lear will be with us on closing night. So it's a great documentary about, a great, filmmaker, creator, writer, producer.
So awesome. We actually did it was a phone interview, but Norman Lear talked with us when he had his recent book came out. We talked to him all about, what was the book called? Even This I Get to Experience, I think is what it was called.
Yeah.
But man, all the shows he created.
Yeah.
All in the Family and all the spinoffs too. And
yeah. And I didn't like watching the film. I was growing up then, I was watching, I was aware of his shows when they were happening, but I just didn't. Kind of like as you're just experiencing it as they're coming out and being on TV. But when you put it all together in a documentary, it really hits you just how much influence he had on television.
Yeah. Does the doc go, because I haven't seen this one yet, does the doc go into sort of his upbringing? I mean, he's told me that he was the inspiration for Meathead. Like, he and his father, he was the Meathead to his father's, Archie Bunker. And that whole relationship is sort of reflected in the show.
But. Yeah, there's a lot of history. And that's even, that's also very fascinating in kind of before he, just kind of hit really big with All in the Family and the other shows, who he was and what he did both, kind of growing up, but then in his early professional life. So it's a great portrait.
And so that'll be closing out at where?
At the museum.
Of course. Yes. Why even ask the question? Everything's at the museum. Well, a couple years ago, it was at the Portrait Gallery, right? I think I...
Right. That's one of our...
I did a Q&A. I emceed it with Steve James, Life Itself.
Oh,
we did Roger Ebert.
Yeah.
That was at the Portrait Gallery. But now, no, it's at the museum, of course. Yeah. awesome. All right, so those are the three big things put on your
our
calendar.
Our tent poles,
right, yes. To hold up this whole tent, this sucker.
Yeah.
So Alex Gibney at the beginning, Werner Herzog for the symposium, and then Norman Lear at the end.
Yeah.
But since those are the tent poles, what are some of the other awesome little things inside the tent, sprinkled in between? Because there's a lot of great docs.
Yeah.
And a lot of them will be competing for, Oscars and things that, I remember Cartel Land and all, this is your chance to see them now before you hear about them later. So.
Right, yeah. So it's a very diverse program, probably the most diverse kind of in terms of, countries that we're screening from.
How many? How many countries? Do you have the stats? We have so many films.
Put me on the spot. I think it's near 30 or maybe over 30. Yeah, it's a lot of different countries. We cast a very wide net this year, and really it was great to see kind of what kind of came in and what was in that huge net that we cast. I mean, there were a lot of films that we couldn't show. We don't have enough space to show everything we'd love to show. But some great films, 43% of our films are directed by women. That's a bit of data that we're proud of.
Yeah. Higher than the, proportion otherwise.
I mean, you know, it's not good enough.
It's never
so,
enough.
Yeah. So, but it's significantly higher.
Well, it's 51% of the population or something. Yeah. Let's at least have it.
So it's significantly higher than last year and previous festivals. So we're proud of that. But really, it's a diverse program that has every kind of documentary. If you're, you know, into issues and kind of changing the world and the impact of documentaries on policy and on, you know, just the world in general, a large part of our program is that. If you want to laugh, we have a lot of documentaries that are pretty funny and a lot of fun, such as Chicken People.
Tell us about Chicken People.
Chicken People. I had no idea until I saw this film that there is this whole, you know, culture of people that raise show chickens. You know, everybody knows about dogs, the dog shows, and people, you know, kind of compete for prizes right. for their dogs, but there's this whole subculture of chicken people.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a best in show for chickens.
Exactly.
Really?
And it's all real. It's, yeah. I mean, it's jaw-dropping, like, amazing stuff that, you know, you've never seen before. And chickens that you've never seen before. Some of these things with feathers, they're actually chickens. But they look like hats or poof balls. But
wow.
They're, yeah.
One-on-one interviews with the chickens. Do they speak in the documentary?
They have cameos. Yes.
Their faces are blurred out, so
yes,
you can't
they have
see
their,
the chicken.
They have their moments. And just going back to Herzog, I came across this interview he did where he was talking about chickens, and he has a kind of one. It's one of his greatest fears are chickens.
Really?
Yeah. So
I'm similar, man. Weird big birds freak me out. Turkeys and chickens and vultures can't do it, man.
Yeah. So I'm trying to figure out if I can get him into that screening. I may have to like kind of tell him it's something else and
you
sit
might
him
have
down
to
and have him
orange it and
yeah,
strap him
yeah.
down and pry his eyes.
Make him watch
it.
Chicken People.
What any other? I mean, while we're on the idea of some of the funnier ones, any other ones that come to
well,
mind?
Well, there's a film that I think on the surface, and there's lots of funny moments in it, but it's kind of one that turns pretty dark as Tickled.
Tickled,
right. Yeah, which is a documentary about guy on guy tickling fetish. And this.
How do you think to do a documentary on that?
Well, this gay journalist in New Zealand kind of came across these websites that, you know, kind of were like, you know, for paying money, of course, you can watch guys tickle other guys.
Okay.
I can't imagine.
All right.
Funny, right?
To each his own, yeah.
And he starts checking it out, and he gets deeper and deeper into this kind of dark, kind of underworld of online guy-on-guy tickling fetish.
Wow.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
But yeah.
There you go. So you have to go see the movie.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well, cool. That's that's the thing with AFI Docs. You get a little bit of everything in subjects you wouldn't think about. You can see it all.
Yeah.
Going back to the female filmmaker thing, who are some of them that might be in town?
Well, Barbara Koppel's coming with her new film, Miss Sharon Jones, and
she's a legend.
Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. It's a great film, and Sharon Jones will be at the festival as well. So Barbara Koppel's back at AFI Docs with another great film. We have a film by Kim Snyder called Newtown, which is about the kind of shootings in Newtown at Sandy Hook Elementary.
Very timely now, unfortunately.
Yeah. And it is, and I think a really, you know, unfortunately, a really kind of even more important film at this point with what's happened recently in Orlando, that it's a film that looks at the community and the impact of that incident on the people that live in Newtown. And, you know, it's kind of one of those films where it's not that kind of instant, kind of like, let's turn a film around really quick about something that just happened.
Right, it took
made, you know, a few years later, and with most documentaries, I mean, that's what's so great about them. You know, the filmmakers are taking their time with the subject to really get in and tell a very thoughtful story about somebody or something. And this one is a really great film. It's an unusual but very simple approach, and it's about the families, the family members, and just the impact of the incident. And you're getting to know them. It's very intimate, very respectful of them and what's happened to them. So you're visiting with, you're talking with, you know, parents that lost a child, or, you know, neighbors who, you know, live next door to somebody that lost a child. So a really great story. And, you know, it's something that happens for me with documentaries of, like, you read about it, you read a synopsis, and it's like, oh yeah, I know what that film is. Yeah, I know what that. Yeah, right. And something like Newtown, it takes a little bit of work to, like, right, go watch it, you know, because it's powerful, but at the end of the film, the film just transforms you, and you at the end of the film, you're like, I'm so glad I saw this film. You know, and
what's it called?
Newtown.
It's called Newtown.
Newtown, right. Yeah. And because it's you know, I think first and foremost, it's great filmmaking. Right. So it takes a great film, a great filmmaker, to be able to kind of get you in and take you on a journey for 90 minutes. And at the end of it, to put you in a place where, you know, wow, that was powerful. That was difficult at moments, but I'm really glad I did it.
It's almost therapeutic. I think a lot of us are still trying to process that. I mean, even a couple years later, I mean, it's the most horrific thing that I can imagine. Yeah. I mean, so go see the movie and let it be your therapy session. And, you know, come out of it and, you know, have a better understanding of this. What other movies are we leaving out?
Oh, about
what are some other ones we can highlight here? We live in DC. It's a very political town. Is there any more of the political type movies?
Well, you know, there are a lot of movies that of course deal with issues that are kind of front and center. Almost Sunrise, a film that deals with you know, war veterans coming back with, you know, kind of trauma and just kind of the effects of being in that space of war and fighting and death and, you know, and killing and coming back to their homes, their families, and having to cope with that. It's a very strong film and kind of another one that has, like, positive outcomes, you know, with particularly this one particular veteran that ends up working, you know, to help other veterans, you know, in a really significant way.
Tell me about, how do you guys go about, you know, curating the, whittling down the submissions? How many submissions did you get?
We probably looked at about a couple of thousand films this year. Yeah.
And these are the best of the best of documentary filmmakers from around the world.
Yeah.
Who's sort of like on the judging panel?
We have a lot of help. We have the first round, or we have like a number of screeners who watch films starting in like November. For months, they're sitting and watching films. They each individual watches like 50 to 100 documentaries and evaluates them, writes their reviews of them, you know, and sends them to us, and we start looking at those and start making decisions. And then we move up to a screening committee, which is a group of about 15 people that meet weekly over 3 or 4 months, and they're watching kind of the ones that have gone up a step in the process, watching those films, coming together every week and talking about them as a group, which is a great way to kind of hear about other films and to get other people's opinions and not just, you know, kind of say what you think about it but have it challenged and have people ask you questions about it. Mm-hmm. So then that's kind of then it's like our programming team, which are three of us, that then make the final selections as far as what's going to be in the festival.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Talk about sort of how much the festival itself has grown and how much you've enjoyed watching it grow from when it started. Well, how long have you been as the director?
This is my second year.
Okay. You took over last year.
Right, right. And I started coming to what was then Silver Docks in 2009. And have attended the festival since then.
You saw it from that side.
I saw the kind of expansion into downtown DC, you know, and was just, you know, as an attendee, an observer of the change, you know, that the festival made. So, you know, the festival is still growing. We want to grow and continue growing. And I think we're looking at a great, you know, next several years as we kind of really hit our stride with screenings in both Silver Spring and Washington, D.C.
Why are you the best documentary festival in the country, in the world?
I think we're the best because the AFI Docs is really shaped and formed and guided to, you know, to a significant extent by where it's based, based in the Washington, D.C. area. Mm-hmm. One, I think we're the best festival in the world because the film audiences here are some of the best in the world. That's what I've been really impressed with.
Very bright, open-minded people.
Yeah, it's you know, very smart. Yeah, just very smart audiences and very dedicated film goers. And a lot of things I think are happening in DC now that really demonstrate kind of how many movie lovers there are. You know, more theaters being built. There's this kind of boom in the movie theater business here, which is great and wonderful. And then also the part of our festival that speaks to policy and kind of, you know, changing the world there. It's, you know, this, if you're going to change the world, you're going to, you know, as a documentary filmmaker, you're going to have to go through DC. You know, you're at some point, you're going to need something here to happen, because this is where a lot of things get decided ultimately. And also it's the number of organizations and, you know, NGOs that are based here or have offices here, and also the really very, very rich media community that's in DC. So I think all of those things come together to make AFI Docs, like you said, the best festival in the world.
There you go. Tell me sort of about, I mentioned Cartelland earlier, but I remember there was Best of Enemies last year. You know, there's a lot of these movies that eventually you will be seeing on, you know, at the end of the year, you'll see on the Best of the Year list or competing at the Oscars and all that. Sort of, you know, sell it to our listeners in terms of, you know, how it's sort of cool to get on the ground floor, so to speak, and see it now and be able to tell your friends about it and you know, be that ahead of the curve. And then so when these things are competing, you feel like you have some skin in the game when you're watching the Oscars. You've seen these, you know, ahead of time.
Right. And another thing about this year's program is that we have more premieres than we've had in many years.
That's awesome.
I think I looked at it and 25% of the films we're showing are being seen for the first time in the U.S. at AFI Docs. So it's a great place to see them and certainly see these films first. And, you know, it's in that kind of cycle that in some ways starts with Sundance in January and goes through to, you know, the Academy Awards that'll happen next February. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of cycle of films. And this is roughly in the midpoint of that. So it's a lot of films are in the festival that you will see on the Oscar shortlist and then eventually be nominated. So a lot of the films will be opening kind of this summer in theaters, being broadcast, lots of different places.
Right. So how can tell us sort of more of the particulars? How do they the details on buying maybe a whole festival pass versus individual tickets? You know, what does that cost?
Well, you can go either way. We have a number of passes available that have different levels of access. Mm-hmm. But, you know, our basic film pass gets you into all of our regular screenings. And some of those are kind of at standby, which means, you know, the only way to guarantee you can get in is to get a pass.
Right.
So a pass is always the good way to go. And you don't have to like decide like, you know, a week in advance, you have a pass, show up, you know, 20 minutes before showtime and you'll get into a movie. So you don't
That's
have to like.
That's the best way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you can just defer making decisions till you're ready. that's how I look at it.
Call it the procrastinator's pass.
Yeah. No. And then certainly individual tickets, just, you know, and it's such a diverse program. We have something for everyone. So just, you know, check it out on AFIDocs.com and you will find kind of a movie, a documentary, probably more than one that'll interest you.
Yeah. We'll throw the link to all the ticket information up on the website and everything. But yeah, sounds like the pass is sort of the way to go. And unlike going to a regular movie, you get to stick around and ask the filmmaker questions and see the movie before it even comes to the movie theaters in a lot of cases. So it's definitely worth checking out. It's a highlight of the year here in D.C., one of the great, you know, for moviegoers anyway, one of the great events. So Thanks so much for coming in. It's awesome. We'll see you
You're
at
welcome.
The festival.
Thank you.
And TOP listeners, we'll be having interviews with other filmmakers cycling through. So keep coming back to this page, this article you're reading at the moment. Stay on this page. Keep checking back. We'll keep adding filmmaker interviews. So thanks, Mike.
Thank you.